Welcome to the Expat Cast. This is the podcast where expats share their stories about fitting in, standing out, and every mishap on the journey to finding home abroad. This is a special series of the Expat Cast called Tereré Talks. I've been really trying to work on my R's in Spanish class this week. Okay, anyway, Tereré Talks. I can't pronounce my R's in any language, but Tereré is a drink in Paraguay. And I am originally from the US, immigrated to Germany, and now I'm living in Paraguay temporarily. And I got bummed that no one knows anything about this amazing country, so I'm here to fix it.
And I'm Zoe. I'm also originally from the U.S. I'm Nicole's childhood best friend. I lived abroad for a few years, but eventually settled back in Philadelphia in the United States. And I've spent about a month in Paraguay over two different visits, so by most people's standards, that makes me an expert. I also can roll my R.
Can you say tereré properly?
Tereré.
Oh, it's already so much better than mine. You can only cook with the ingredients you're given. And I haven't achieved the ingredient of the rolling R's. Till then, it's tereré. Anyway, today we are talking about food and I'm so excited for it. I want to ask you, Zoe, when I initially was like, oh, you're coming to Paraguay or you're here, let's go get some sopa paraguaya. What were you expecting?
Soup, for sure, because that's what sopa means.
And what did you get?
I got cornbread.
Sopa paraguaya, so Paraguayan soup. And it's not soup at all. And the legend goes that it originated from someone cooking a soup and then leaving it on the stove too long. And when they came back, all of the water had evaporated and all of the ingredients had coagulated into essentially cornbread. But it's delicious. I mean, I'm not personally a huge fan of cornbread, but I like sopa paraguaya.
See, I'm the opposite. I much prefer cornbread to sopa paraguaya, even though I think sopa paraguaya is good. Not as sweet as cornbread, and it doesn't have as much of the, like, corn flavor.
Our first section, we're just going to talk about traditional Paraguayan food, so I am going to use this chance to talk about actual Paraguayan soups, because they also exist, and they also sometimes have surprises.
Yeah, the soups there are really good.
Actually, where you had your first Paraguayan soup was at a restaurant called Ese Lugar, and I went there for dinner last night. So it reminded me of two things that I wanted to share. First off is I was wanting to hear what you remember from your soup experience there, because I remember you getting a soup with, I think they were meatballs, but I can't quite remember.
Yeah, they were definitely meatballs. It was very good soup. I tried both of your soups too. They were all really delicious.
He got a soup again last night. And it reminded me of the early days when I was still in Germany and he was in Paraguay. He messaged me once being like, hey, so I sat down at this Paraguayan restaurant and I ordered a soup. Like it was hard to find anything vegetarian on the menu, but I think that this is vegetarian. And he's eating it and there's just a whole steak at the bottom of the soup.
Yeah, the least surprising thing to me.
Yeah, exactly. At the time, we were like, whoa, amazing. Who would have thought? And now it's like, well, but of course.
Yeah.
I think it's funny to think like, sopa paraguaya is not soup, but you do have a lot of soups in Paraguayan food, and some of them might have surprise steaks in them.
There's definitely a lot of large chunks of meat in the soup.
The one he had last night was so tender you could just break it apart with a spoon. So one national dish, or like popular traditional Paraguayan dish, is called bori bori. That is also one of those soups, but I think it is maybe a little surprising to think like a soup is so popular in a climate that's so warm.
Yeah, I think hot like liquids, teas and soups and stuff are really common actually in hot climates because it helps you regulate your body temperature. Like if your body is warm, it doesn't feel as warm outside.
Cocido, which I think we did not try together. No, we did at the breakfast bar. Yeah. Okay. So cocido is cooked over coals. And so it gets this like smoky, coaly flavor to it. And it's a hot drink. We had it at a hotel breakfast bar. So they had tea, they had coffee and cocido. And you didn't like it at all.
I didn't. I would describe it as like a hot, milky, smoky tea. And it was not a flavor that I enjoyed, but I am very picky about hot liquids.
I think it's really delicious. And I found even the one cafe that we go to has a cocido flavored ice cream, which is really interesting and can be really good. So I was surprised that they had a special hot drink because They have mate, which people might know from Argentina because they're huge on their mate culture there. But in Argentina, mate is hot. In Paraguay, it's the same base tea or plant, but served cold. And I mean, that's tereré. That's what this whole thing is named after. And the other main drink here, of course, is just the juices. So what juices did you have when you were here?
Wow, I have so many juices. Lemonade for sure. Peach, mango, pineapple. Those are my main ones that I think that I had. But I think also you have orange juice, grapefruit juice.
I am obsessed with the grapefruit juice. It's pomelo, and I still don't know if pomelo is like a special type of grapefruit or it's just all grapefruit.
I think pomelo is just grapefruit, but it might be that you like South American grapefruits and that's not what you had growing up.
Yeah, exactly. That's true for a lot of juices and flavors. Like even pineapple is not a juice I would usually drink in the US or Germany. But here, I love it. One trick, though, is if you get a drink, it will automatically come with a bunch of sugar mixed into it, which you might be into. But for me, it really takes away from the juice itself. But you can always order it sin azúcar, so without sugar.
Yeah, we even order the lemonade without sugar. I then will often add sugar with like the sugar packets, but that way I can regulate my own sugar because they make them so, so sweet. Like you do not need sugar in peach juice. You don't
right.
need it.
And they also, one thing I do like that they add to juices is sometimes they'll add different herbs. So you can get lemonade with ginger and mint, I think it's a popular combination, or there's usually like 2 to 3 options of what you can mix with. Sometimes you get frutas rojas, red fruit. You can also get green juice. I had one last night at the restaurant and it was so good. You could really, really taste the cucumber. So yeah, there's just, I never tire of that. Let's go back to food though. I mean, there's a chipa guy just driving down my street. He was just calling out on his megaphone, chipa, chipa, chipa. And this happens all the time. Chipa is probably the most well-known food from Paraguay. Actually, my first flight out of Paraguay was to Uruguay. And on that flight, the in-flight snack was a little bag of chipa.
Amazing.
Chipa is, for me, it's like a whole category of things. So I think the most traditional is like the fresh baked one that often comes in a ring, almost like a bagel.
This is my favorite kind of chipa. Is the fresh baked chipa. I'm not a huge fan of the dried chipa.
The other way you can get it really standard is almost like a bag of chips or a bag of breadsticks or something. It's a bag of dried chipa and they're smaller. They're chipita. They're a little chipa. They're more of like a snack kind of a thing that you would buy at the grocery store and have at home. Chipa fresh, like the bigger version out of the oven, I love. And there's so many different ways you can have chipa. So chipa officially is mandioca starch. So that's the main base. And then they also use cornstarch, fat, milk, egg, and then Paraguayan cheese, which I also wanted to mention. It's a very soft cheese, almost like a mozzarella. It's unsalted. It's very easy to mix into other things. So typically chipa does have cheese in it. And where I was getting confused is because there's like the standard chipa. And then there's chipa guazú, and chipa guazú is really popular as well. Like to me, I feel like that's the one I come in contact with the most. It's more heavily corn-based. But the thing with chipa in general, like the other reason it's hard to talk about is there's like 10 plus different versions. For a Paraguayan, it would be very important that you know the difference.
Yeah, the first time that I had chipa was at a street festival. They had lots of different street food set up in the square, and we had a couple different types of chipa there. And it really is like a bread product.
Sort of similar is beiju. So beiju is also made from mandioca flour. It's a very flat pancake, crusty, crumbly. The way they serve it at the cafe, we went to Café de Acá, they put stuff on it. So you can get almost like an avocado toast. That was actually my first meal in Paraguay was beiju with avocado and egg on top. And so it's just sort of a nice base, almost biscuity feeling, but it's very thin and flat. I love it. You can get it just as is, but then it would be very fresh and it would have the warmth and the softness from being freshly baked. But I've more often encountered it as a base and you put some stuff on top of it. Okay, it's amazing that we've gotten this far into talking about Paraguayan food without mentioning asado. I think I previously would have thought of asado with Argentina.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, asado is barbecue. So it's typically beef or sausage cooked on an outdoor grill or barbecue. And it is incredible. The quality of meat is so high.
I mean, it's surprising if you find mediocre beef, like pretty much anywhere you walk into. You don't even have to walk in anywhere. You can find some dude on a street corner grilling out and he'll sell you a kebab. It's going to be insane. You can go into your average grocery store, buy something that doesn't even look that specialty. It just looks very normal. But if it has made in Paraguay on it, it's going to be so, so, so good. And I'm not a meat person. Like, I always felt intimidated by steak. I don't know anything about it. It's just not my thing, right? And then I come here and now I'm like changed. And I still don't know enough about the cuts to tell you, but honestly, it does not seem like they're doing anything that fancy in terms of the cooking. It's just good salt, good quality meat, a nice barbecue, and generational knowledge on what to do at a barbecue.
Yeah, well, meat is just so huge there because it is cheap. It is such high quality. And as we mentioned earlier, like, you will just find meat in everything.
Mass producing meat, you know, where they're just standing in stalls all day, it doesn't exist here. Like, it's not, there's not this distinction of grass-fed beef because all of it is.
They're like, what else would cows eat?
Two notes with asado culture. Here, you'll get your asado with a side of mandioca. And what I find kind of fun is one of the popular brunch dishes is mandioca, I think is how you say it. Basically, they take leftovers from the asado the night before. So the mandiocas and all that kind of stuff, and they mix it with scrambled eggs, some other stuff, and then it's brunch.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
The other thing I wanted to mention is asaditos. I'll give you an example. This has happened pretty often that we'll go to someone's house for like a get together or a small party or a large party. And of course, you're grilling. So if it's a small or medium sized party, probably they'll just grill a nice cut of beef. And by the way, some of the best beef of my life has been in situations like that. So not even with like amazing chefs or something, just that simple. But the other way you might have asado is asaditos. So the way I've experienced this is it'll often be served on a small grill. Each table will get a couple grills of asaditos. So it's like a tiny mini grill and they'll have the meat. And then you just take your little toothpicks. So everyone has like their own toothpick and you just like pick up with your toothpick the little chunks of beef or whatever other meats are being grilled. One more food note about the cuisine before we talk about the restaurant experience in general. So I was really surprised to find that Asunción, at least, if not Paraguay in general, has a pretty decent craft beer scene. They have some sort of standards. Some are South American standards, like Patagonia. Some, I think, are more Paraguayan. I'm not sure. But there's also a ton of really good craft beers. And I've been really enjoying getting to know them all. And they're all super, super good. So I don't know if it has to do with the German influence. But honestly, I think it's more so just like Paraguayans know what to do in a kitchen. And this is like my main takeaway with like restaurants. I could sit here and name 50 restaurants right now that I love in Asunción. It doesn't matter. They just know what to do and everything is good. Why are people not talking about this more? It's like I've never in my life been somewhere or lived somewhere that has a higher standard. I had one mediocre hamburger once. And still, if I had eaten that as my first burger here, I think I would have liked it.
And this is true not just for Paraguayan food or for food from countries nearby. It's true of all sorts of different cuisines that they have. Like the Asian food is really delicious. There's Venezuelan food that's really good. Like people open restaurants in Paraguay and they just know what they're doing.
For me, it's one of the best surprises about coming here. I mean, they have huge communities of Japanese, Korean, Taiwanese immigrants, and they've opened the restaurants. And of course, I've never been to any of those countries. I have no idea how authentic they are. I've talked to people from those countries who've had plenty of restaurants to recommend to me that they totally approve of. I think as authentic, quote unquote, as you can get, of course, you're going to have certain limitations in what ingredients you can have access to. From what I can tell when I'm eating a cuisine that I know, yes, it's adapted. Yes, probably there's versions with beef that you wouldn't otherwise have with beef, but it's not too extreme. A couple of my favorite cafes are Caro Cafe and Café de Acá. You've been to both. How would you describe them?
Yeah, I have. It's definitely like an indoor-outdoor situation. So you can be in either, but even if you're indoors, it kind of feels like you're outdoors. Lots of plants, big windows, really chill vibe, nice music. People are working on their laptops in there or just chatting with friends, and the food and drinks are delicious.
Yeah, and another thing I love is that you can go for any meal or any mood. So you can go have breakfast, have lunch, have dinner, go for drinks. You can get alcohol. You don't have to get alcohol. You can get bakery items, just go for dessert. And I mean, that's common for cafes as a concept, but I think it's not always the case that a cafe hits all of those marks. You know, yes. You might get a cafe that has a great menu, but the vibe's not there, or it's great for drinks, the food's fine. But this is really, both of those cafes are just amazing across the board.
Yeah, Caro has like great pizza. We like ordered pizza for delivery from this cafe.
They're our go-to for pizza. But another thing I love about living here is their pizza's a bit more Italian style. There are other places you can get more authentic Italian pizza, and there's other places you can get American style pizza. One of the things that's been the hardest itch to scratch living abroad is we're from the Northeast. We're from Philly, which has an amazing style of pizza. I haven't found it very often abroad. And here there's a place. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to claim it's an authentic New York slice of pizza, but it's like, it really, it gets that when I want that.
I do find myself craving French pizza sometimes because that's where I lived when I was abroad, and they use Emmental cheese. It's a super different flavor. I would get it with like green peppers, and the Emmental cheese, and then I'd have like the spicy chili oil sauce that I would put on it. I can't get that here in the US. And it's so funny. I'm like craving French pizza.
Yeah. It's so funny how you can get these specific connections, different places that you're living. Yeah. I mentioned Ese Lugar is where I went last night. That has a really good traditional Paraguayan menu. Ice cream. I could talk for hours about ice cream. My favorites are Glaze or Doña Angela. Actually, my partner and I just started at A, and we each order 2 scoops each time, and we're just like working our way through the menu alphabetically. Sometimes because we're doing it alphabetically, we've had bad flavor combinations, and there were like 3 visits in a row where we were just stuck in dulce de leche land, but there's yet to be a bad flavor. The last one I want to mention is Coape, which is a rooftop bar. So rooftop bars are huge in Paraguay. There's a ton of high-rise buildings all throughout the city. As you could stand to reason, a ton of rooftop bars as well. And the sunsets here are just stunning. You watch it over the river, sun setting behind Argentina. And the best place to watch a sunset is from the rooftop because we don't have hills here. So you just go up there, you get a little cocktail or a little juice and watch it. And I really like Coape because they have local casual feel. Some of the other rooftop bars are like in hotels, and so they're more high end or whatever. And Coape has, it's named with a Guarani word, and it has a legend on the menu all about like a jaguar. And yeah, it's really cool. And their cocktails are great. Their food's really good. And the view's awesome. There are 2 styles of restaurant I want to shout out. One is Churrascaria. So they are basically an all-you-can-eat buffet. So you pay a flat fee. I think you pay extra for drinks. They'll often have a bunch of side dishes or little like appetizers in the middle of the room. And then in the back, they'll have a massive, massive barbecue with just insane amounts of meat. And they'll also walk around the table, and the barbecue guys will just have like a stick of whatever they were cooking, and they offer it to you and like cut off a little bit onto your plate. I love them. Unfortunately, the first one that I took you to was not very good. It was actually, it was probably my most disappointing restaurant experience. It was still good.
Yeah, the food was fine, but it was definitely like not a popular place. And with a buffet, you know, you want some place where the turnover is really high.
I think we got to rewrite our experience when you were here more recently, and we went to my favorite Churrascaria, which is out by a lake nearby, San Bernardino. I think it's called O Gaucho. Absolutely amazing experience.
You know, it was so delicious. I have a problem with buffets, which I just can't eat enough. I'm not very good at fitting a lot of food in my body at one time. But you are incredible at a buffet. You
yeah,
have,
I shine.
You really do shine. It's so a buffet is not necessarily ideal, but it's so exciting, especially if you're trying to try a lot of different Paraguayan foods all at once.
And I think we paid maybe $20 a person.
Yeah, maybe.
If I think of like a $20 all you can eat buffet in other places, I think I would be like, rather not. But this was super, super high quality. And then finally, the food court concept, which we've referenced a couple times.
It's outdoors, kind of like a large lot or like a giant park. It's filled with tables. And then lining the four sides of the rectangle, there'll be different food stalls. They're permanent food stalls. They're not like a food truck. But they are each a different restaurant, different cuisines, different restaurants. You can order at any of them and eat in the food court. They serve beer. Yeah, it's really nice ambiance. The one that I'm thinking of has like really nice string lights everywhere, and it's packed.
At least in Asuncion, there are food courts in every tiny, tiny neighborhood. I think another thing Paraguayans do so good is just create ambiance. So I mentioned that with the cafes, but also for the food parks. I mean, here's where we mentioned trees, in case you thought we were going to go a whole episode without talking about them. Don't worry.
Could never.
The food courts are usually paved with gravel. There are still a lot of really big old trees. So first off, that's just lovely. And then second off, they drape, as you said, these like twinkle lights and lanterns and different like wicker woven designs. Technically, you're in a gravel parking lot. Like it shouldn't feel nice, but it really does.
Yeah, it's kind of reminiscent of a like a beer garden, but with lots of food stalls that happen to also serve beer rather than one beer garden place.
Yeah. I've actually said, you know, sometimes when I get homesick for a beer garden, I'll just go for a beer at the food park because it's similar. It's like a Paraguayan version, and it's not trying to be a beer garden, but it does offer a similar enjoyment, I would say. And beer gardens in the US especially, I think, are along these lines. And the food's often really, really good. It's also a great chance to try international cuisine. Yeah, I've like grown a deep love for Venezuelan food because there's a ton of migrants here from Venezuela, and almost every food park has a really great Venezuelan stand. Oh, there's just so many good things. And it's definitely the go-to for like meeting up with some friends because it's so casual. Everyone can get whatever they want if people have food allergies or preferences. I want to talk about food times quickly. So I've heard other foreigners joke that Paraguayans eat like hobbits from Lord of the Rings. They eat a lot, I guess, is the joke. I haven't seen the movies or read the books, so I don't really know. But
yeah, they eat often throughout the day, like me.
So breakfast would be usually pretty early. Like I mentioned, a lot of people start their days earlier, especially because of the heat. So breakfast might be like even 6:30 to maybe 8. Tereré, there's an official beginning to the drinking of the tereré. That will usually start between like 8:30 and 10 o'clock in the morning, depending on the heat, actually. And especially for people working outdoors, doing some kind of manual labor, that is like an optional additional second breakfast. It's called media mañana. That basically just means they would have something more substantial to eat before they start their tereré. So maybe around like 9 o'clock. But that's not everyone. I think a lot of people just have one breakfast and then wait until lunch, which is kind of a normal lunchtime. I would say anywhere between 12 and maybe 2 is kind of the later end. There is dinner, but as I said, dinner starts later in Paraguay, so it's more like 8 to 10. And the surprise addition one for me is merienda. So there are actually like 4 very established meals of the day, and merienda is the one that's new for me. And that is between 4 and 6. And it's not a huge meal, but it's a small, you eat something. Like you might have chipa, you might have beju. It's like a little bit bigger than a snack, but not quite a meal to tide you over until 8 o'clock.
This is how I eat. I usually have merienda, but I kind of switch dinner and merienda. And I have like a big meal around like 5:30 or 6. And then I have like a smaller something between 8 and 10.
See, so we could totally go to a food park with you and you could get something smaller.
Yeah.
All right. The last topic with food I want to get into is groceries. I think I was expecting Paraguay to be more outdoor market based. And it's not. I would say Bolivia is the place I've experienced the most amount of markets. Like there almost weren't supermarkets. It was almost only outdoor markets. But yeah, Paraguay is totally flipped. So there is like a one big market that's going on every day, Mercado Cuatro. There's also some smaller markets that kind of pop up here and there, but it's not really a market culture these days. It's way more supermarkets. You do have, as mentioned, these sort of roadside stands or people selling produce to you at red lights. One thing that was absolutely hilarious. So my first apartment was like a 5-minute walk to an absolute legend in Asunción, Casa Rica.
Casa Rica is the best. It was the first place I went in Paraguay. You took me to the grocery store.
I thought it was so funny. People would use Casa Rica as like a landmark, being like, oh, you live near Casa Rica. But the more time I spent, I was like, no, I get it. Costa Rica is everything. Costa Rica has a huge celebration for any possible event, like San Juan, which is the festival that you are in town for. They apparently have an amazing San Juan. They have a huge Oktoberfest. We could hear it from our house.
Oh, wow.
So they throw full-out events in the parking lot certain times. But even beyond that, like I have walked in just to casually get some groceries and found a game show happening. I've walked in to find a cooking class taking place. There's often sporadic free samples. Sometimes different companies will sort of have a pop-up store. So all of a sudden there's luggage being sold in the one corner. I mean, you just never know what you're gonna get. At first I thought it was really weird that this was happening at a grocery store, but it really is kind of a community center. One thing that really warmed my heart, my first time grocery shopping in Paraguay, two big surprises. And I walked in and we passed the beer section. And I was like, oh, let me just have a glimpse and see what's gonna be available. And I found, first off, Erdinger Alkoholfrei, which is an alcohol-free beer brand from Germany that I love. So I was already like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Then I look to the right and I see PBR.
Amazing. Your favorite American beer.
It's a terrible beer in the US and I love it.
It's very like college beer.
Definitely, definitely. It's like if you can afford better, you're not drinking PBR. except if you're me. Realizing that I could just have both beers that connect me to my past at my neighborhood grocery store, I was like, are you kidding me? And then I saw all of the Paraguayan craft beer. I was like, we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, the beer scene is great.
The other huge surprise, which is even funnier to me, as I'm walking through the aisles, I kept seeing Gut und Günstig, which, for context, in Germany, one of the main grocery stores is a store called Edeka. And Edeka has all of the normal products, and then they have their store brand, right? So their store brand is only sold in Edeka. Edeka's store brand is called Gut und Günstig. And for some reason, Casa Rica and actually a couple other stores in Paraguay have deals where they import Gut und Günstig brand items. So all of a sudden, I'm seeing like nut mixes, German-specific snacks in the snack aisle, all the way down to sauces, pickles, like literally any item. They have Paraguayan versions, and then they have Gut und Günstig. It's actually really nice because that meant for Christmas time, I could actually get my favorite German Christmas snacks. So again, as someone living here as a foreigner, it's just a really nice and funny thing that I have access to. Speaking of groceries, I want to mention the prices. So we're going to do a little breakdown, much like what we did with homes, where we shared a price comparison of here versus where you are in Philly in the US. So we're going to do that with groceries. So I'll read the item and then you can tell me the US price and I'll share the Paraguayan price.
Yeah. So we actually went to grocery stores. For anyone who cares, I went to Giant.
I wanted to go to Casa Rica or the other big one, which is Super Saves, but ended up going to just a corner store called Biggie. Let's dive into it. Starting off with 1 liter of milk, I guess half a gallon is kind of similar.
Yes. So in the US, at Giant, it's $2.59.
And in Paraguay, it's 7,000 guaraníes or 94 cents. A dozen eggs in the US.
$2.99.
In Paraguay, it's 17,000 guaraníes or about 229 US dollars. A single apple.
Is 86 cents.
Here it was 4,500 or 60 cents. Fresh herb bundles. I ended up grabbing parsley today. So how much is parsley in the US?
For a bunch of parsley, it's $1.50.
In Paraguay, it's 1,500 guaraníes or just 20 cents. What about a loaf of bread?
So I did check out just like a loaf of white bread. that like comes in a bread bag in the US. And then I also did a price check on like a loaf of sourdough bread from the bakery section of the grocery store. So a bag of white bread is $1.99 and a loaf of sourdough bread is $4.99.
In Paraguay, they only really sold half loaves at the store I was at, and they were 16,000 or $2.15. And I have to say, they barely had any like typical sandwich bread. It was more like hamburger buns and different rolls. And I think that's just also a cultural difference. A frozen pizza.
In the US, that's $5.99.
In Paraguay, it is $4.85. A bag of flour.
$3.99.
94 cents in Paraguay. A bottle of wine.
Yeah, so you specified cheaper, but not cheapest. So I was just like, probably what I would buy. So I did this off the top of my head, probably around $15 to $20 for a bottle.
Yeah, the one I was looking at in the corner store was only $2.42 or 18,000 guaraníes. I swear, like that must have been a cheaper one than I was realizing. I think I normally pay more like $6 to $8 here. I'm actually surprised. I thought that being just across the river from Argentina, I thought it would be very normal to find a $3 bottle of wine before I got here. Because in Germany, for instance, you can find great wine for like $3 to $5. And I'm surprised by how much this border makes a difference. I think once you get to Chile or you get to Argentina, the prices drop quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'll say the Paraguayan prices first for this next category because I just wrote down some kind of beef. But I went to the store and just like wrote down two ones that I found on the shelf. And then you actually figured out which beef that is in US terms and found the prices for that. So in Paraguay, I found a Milanesa Especial for 44,000 guaraníes, and that was for 0.6 kilos, so like 600 grams. So that's about $5.95, or bife de chorizo, which is 85,000 guaraníes for 1.2 kilograms, or $11.45. And by the way, this brand wasn't like specialty fancy, but it wasn't like this like generic one. So it was like slightly, maybe I could have maybe found cheaper. It was like slightly nicer brand.
Okay, so in the US, the equivalent for Milanesa would be like a top round. And so for that 0.6 kilograms, it would be $13.22 compared to Paraguayan $5.95. So way more expensive. And for the bife chorizo, the equivalent of that would be like a New York strip steak. For 1.2 kilograms of that, it would cost $31.46. Compared to the $11.45 in Paraguay. So you can really see the difference in beef prices.
And I imagine if we did a taste comparison, I think there would also be a difference there.
Yeah, for sure.
Then an avocado, how much does that cost in the US?
A regular sized avocado is $1.69, but I also priced a jumbo avocado at $2.99.
The only avocado I could find, and like the more typical avocado here, is massive, like bigger than my hand. It was priced out at 0.8 kilograms, so 800 grams, 13,000 guaraníes or $1.75. The smaller ones do exist and they're actually more expensive because they are imported and not grown locally. But I love how cheap avocados are here. We have guacamole at least once a week in this household and it's great. My feeling is grocery prices are not that different from Germany. So Germany has quite cheap groceries, especially for Europe. I think I was maybe expecting, because a lot of things are cheaper here, that groceries would be even cheaper. And I think they're a bit cheaper, but not that much.
Yeah, definitely a lot cheaper than the US, but we have expensive groceries.
So if you extrapolate that into restaurants, I mean, that's where you see the difference. Do you remember, so when you were visiting the first time, we went to the neighborhood bar and everyone had a burger and a beer.
We might have also had an appetizer.
I think we did actually. We had chipa. Yeah, we had a chipa. My partner had paid with our card and then we're walking home and he stopped and he was like, oh, the charge just came through. I think they must have forgotten to ring something up. It was what, $25?
Yeah.
And so we stopped and pulled up the menu because we were going to go back and be like, you guys forgot to charge us. for something. And we pulled up the menu and added up the prices and then did the conversion on the street corner on the way on the walk home. And it was correct. It was $25 for three like really top quality burgers, an appetizer, and craft beer.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really wild prices at restaurants. And that's super common that like the food out is so, so cheap.
I would say because he and I go out to eat pretty often, like at least I would say 1 to 3 times a week. And sometimes that just means getting like takeout empanadas from some grocery store. But we also go out to enjoy all of those amazing restaurants we talked about. And it's very normal that like a nice dinner is between 20 to 30 for both of us. And that's with, you know, I often get like a juice and a beer, or we get an appetizer. We get dessert almost every time. We didn't have time to talk about it, but like the desserts here are just also outstanding.
And you can't go wrong with maracuya everything.
Passion fruit, everything here. And it's always so, so good. And yeah, anyways, when we go out to eat, we don't hold back. And it's, yeah, 20 to 30. So word has to get out. I don't understand. Why is it so great and no one's talking about it? And well, I could keep talking about the food here for literally hours. I have a multi-page Google Doc of all of our favorite restaurants because, surprisingly enough, every new restaurant we go to gets added to that list because they're all so good. But we're going to stop here. If anyone is listening and coming to Asuncion, feel free to email me at theexpatcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. I'm at @theexpatcast. I would be happy to share my multi-page document with you. We'll wrap it up there for now and transition to the capybara joke of the day. Zoe and I, when we were traveling in Bolivia, we spent hours on a canoe in a runoff river of the Amazon, coming up with every possible pun that you can make with the word capybara. And now we're going to share some with you. And I'm going classic today and I'm staying on theme. What do you call a capybara who's just a little bit hungry?
What?
A snackybara.
Very on theme, very on theme. Okay, what do you call a capybara who's taking dance lessons?
Ooh, what do you call them?
A tapybara. Tap dance. I'm going to prepare next time.
I feel great. This is maybe the first and only time that mine has been a better joke than yours. And yeah. I'm just going to enjoy that moment.
I need to remember that this is part of the recording for next time. so that I'm not, you know, as you're wrapping things up, like, oh, shoot. Tappy, cappy, sappy.
We're going to keep the grocery shopping theme alive next week and talk more about shopping. So tune in next week to learn all about shopping and commerce in Paraguay. Until then, hasta luego.
See ya.